It's good to see you all. It's good to be in church together to worship God. Welcome if you're joining us online. I've got two announcements to make. The first is we're looking forward to the Spring Bible Weekend, and we're really pleased that lots of people are signed up to help with it. And I've just been asked to say, if you're signed up to help, can you make sure that you read the child protection policy and that you sign off before so that those involved in the admin don't have to come around chasing people up. The second announcement is about Thursday. On Thursday evening, we're pleased to welcome Jeff Thomas to come and speak to us. It's the Stanley Dales Trust meeting. But the main highlight will be Jeff's preaching. So we're very much looking forward to that. So we're going to start our time of worship by singing. Singing about our great strong God. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Just having a look round at all of you, and unless I'm much mistaken, very few of you will have remembered VE Day in your personal life. There's been lots on the news about how we're celebrating the anniversary of VE Day when Europe was freed from Nazi oppression. And yet for most of us, it's always something we've heard about, perhaps something we haven't even heard about. So that our celebration isn't as much as those who lived through VE Day from England. And it's even not as much as, can you imagine what it would have been like to have lived on Jersey at the time? Because Jersey actually had Nazis in control of them. They actually shot people who disagreed with them. They actually put people in prison. And they weren't free to do what they wanted to. So it's great for us to think about what's happened. But it made me think, sometimes we hear about this freedom that God brings. And isn't it interesting to hear about it? lovely to hear about it in the lives of others, but isn't it so much better to know it for ourselves? So let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we thank you that you're a God who hears and answers prayer. We thank you that most of us have not seen war in our country. We've known freedom. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us not to take that freedom for granted. We pray that you will help us to make the most of the lives that you give us. But Lord, you know that inside us there's a bigger trap, a bigger prisoner, a bigger difficulty, that we do the things that we shouldn't do. We get into bad habits, we get trapped by them, we keep on doing them, and we start turning and losing our connection from the brightness of your sun, from the glory of knowing you. And Lord, we pray that as we come to you now, that you will help us to hear your voice, and we pray that you will be setting us free, that we will know what our God wants, and the joy of knowing you. Amen. So we have a God who speaks, and we're going to be hearing his voice from a passage in the Old Testament that Mark is going to be speaking to us from later. We're going to be reading from 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. We're starting at verse 1, and we're going to stop at verse 21. Jehoshaphat was king of God's people. They were a relatively small nation. And you will see that he is faced with a big problem. So we're starting reading at verse 1. After this, there were Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Menuhites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they're in Horazatama, that is Engedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. tomorrow. Go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jireel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoan. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." So we're looking forward to Mark speaking to us from that passage. And after the next song, we have the children's talk, which Joss is bringing. But before then, when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
To talk to you about for a minute, what I want to start talking about is toy cars. Okay, here we go. So last weekend we went to see my nieces and nephews, and they had some cars a little bit like this. I found this picture on the internet, but it was a little bit like this. So there was like a car like that, and the little kids were driving that around themselves. And then there was a bit of a bigger one that was like a quad bike that the older kids were riding. And they looked like so much fun. I've got a real car, but if I was a bit smaller, I would have liked to jump in and give it a try. I mean, have you guys ever been on one of those battery-powered cars before? I know you have, because you were there. Has anyone else had a go? We don't have those at home, so we were super, super excited. These are much cooler than the toys we've got at home. But what do you think happened to these cars after we've been driving around for a little while in them? What do you reckon happened to these battery-powered cars? Go on. They did run out of charge, yeah. They needed the batteries to keep them going. And when the batteries ran out, they stopped and the fun was over. This happened. And that got me thinking, do you think that maybe sometimes we could be like those cars? Do you think we run out of battery? What do we need to keep us going? What sort of stuff do we need to keep us going? Something like this? We need food, don't we? If we don't have food, we will slow down. That's going to keep me going. And I thought, what's the Bible say about this? Does the Bible say eat lots of food? It probably says that somewhere, but we're going to look at something else. We're going to look at this bit. Can someone read this for me? Yeah, go on. Thank you. That's brilliant. Very loud as well. Lovely. Yeah, we do not live on bread alone, so we don't just keep ourselves going by eating food, bread, apples, sweets, whatever you like, but the words that come from the mouth of God. So what's the words that come from the mouth of God? I'm helping you out here, guys. I brought the props. It's the Bible. Yeah, God speaks to us through the Bible. So I looked at this and I thought, easy. If we want to keep ourselves going, then we've got to eat the Bible. No problem at all. So I brought this along and I've got some pages down here. Can somebody read this one for me? Who's not read? It feels like doing some reading. You've not read. Can you read that one? Thank you. Yeah, be bold and strong. The Lord your God will be with you. So if you're feeling a bit scared, if you're feeling a bit on your own, then you can look at a page like this in the Bible where it says, be bold, be strong, and God will be with you. And that will help keep you going. So we're going to rip that one out. I'm going to eat it. Delicious. Sort of. I'll finish that one later. Okay. Maybe we'll look at one other one. What else have we got in here? Okay, here's one. I was thinking about letting you eat them, but to be honest, I don't think you want to. Could you read it for us, though?
Love each other as I have loved you.
Thank you. So sometimes it's hard to keep going with being nice to people, isn't it? I find it hard to keep going with being nice to people. But we can come and read the Bible, and it says, love each other because Jesus has loved us. And when we remember that, it helps us. It helps us to keep going with loving each other. So I'm going to eat that one as well. Well, eat a little bit of it. Yummy. So the message today is you should all go home and give your Bibles a bit of a nibble. Is that the message? No. I'm just being silly, as usual, to try to help you remember it. If you go home and nibble your Bibles, you'll probably get me in trouble with your parents. So don't do that. But we need to remember that it is not just food that keeps us going, but it's God's words that keeps us going. So when you go home, eat your food, even the broccoli and the vegetables, especially the vegetables. But as well, you've got to fill yourself up with God's word by listening to it, by reading it, by thinking about it. Thank you very much, guys. Well done for listening.
Oh, Lord our God, we thank you that we live in your beautiful world. We thank you that creation speaks, sings the Father's song. As we look at the sun, we realise the greatness of the God who made such brightness, the brightness that we can't gaze into for long because our eyes are so weak. And yet we've just been hearing about our God who speaks to us so much better than even through the sun. You give us your word, and we pray that as the children have been encouraged to live off it, that we will do the same. Oh Lord, we pray that the truth about you will be what shapes our lives. Oh Lord, you know we were hearing last Sunday evening about the command to love each other. And Lord, you know how hard we find that. And we pray that that will be something that we hear time and time again from you, but that shapes us so that we become more loving, more caring, more like Jesus. Oh Lord, we do thank you that we're looking a part of your word which reminds us of how great you are and what you can do. Oh Lord, we are glad that there is a really big picture, that one day you're going to come again. One day every knee, every king, every ruler will bow before you. And every one of your children will be with you forever. Oh, we ask that you will help us to look forward to that day when we will meet you. Help us to be ready to meet you. Oh, Lord, you know that we know that we do things that we shouldn't do, and we don't do things that we should. And even our best efforts, even the things that we think are quite good, can't begin to cancel out the bad. Oh, we thank you, you sent Jesus. We thank you that you loved this world enough to send your son to take the punishment that everyone who trusts in you deserves. So that if we belong to you, we can be sure that we've been welcomed into your family and can look forward to being with you forever. Oh Lord, we thank you that you care for us, your children. You care for each one who trusts in you, and you protect us and care for us so deeply. Yet, Lord, you know that sometimes we can't see that. Sometimes hard things happen, bad things happen that we worry about because we don't see everything, because we don't know. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll help us to trust that when you say that everything works out for the very best to those who love you, help us to trust that what you say is true. Help us to cast all our cares on you. And we pray too for this world in which we live. We thank you that we've enjoyed peace. Oh Lord, we're conscious that children are being killed even today. Oh Lord, we pray for peace in Gaza. We pray for peace in the Ukraine. We pray for justice. We pray, as you have the hearts of the rulers of this world in your hand, that in your mercy, that you will have mercy. And that those who are suffering will know relief. Oh Lord, we thank you for the number of people who hear about you from this church. And we pray that the seed that's been sown will be good seed. Oh Lord, we thank you that there's young ones coming in First Steps. We thank you that there's old ones who are coming on First Tuesday. We thank you for all the ages in between. And we ask that we will see good fruit because your good seed has gone into good soil, and that people's lives are changed for their benefit, but also to show how great and how glorious you are. Oh, we're looking forward to the Spring Bible Weekend. We pray that you'll help those who are preparing the talks, give them the right words to say. And Lord, we pray that that will be just what children want to hear, or what children need to hear. Oh Lord, sometimes we want to hear one thing, but we need to hear another. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll speak to us. And we ask, Lord, that the publicity will be shared by the schools. Lord, you know that we would love Firmer School and Ashdown School to send on the message on Monday. Oh Lord, we pray that could be your goodwill, that will happen. And Lord, we pray that you'll be in every one of the arrangements for that weekend. Oh Lord, you know all the things that are going on. All the things that are going on from this church that we want to do. And we pray that it will be marked out by your love. Help those who are serving to love each other. Help those who are serving to be confident in you. Lord, you know how hard it is sometimes to keep on going, sharing the good news about you when you get no reaction. Oh Lord, we ask that we will see your word changing our lives and the lives of others. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help us to be like God's people that we've just been reading about. Oh Lord, you know when we face trials, how we each tend to react. You know, some of us hide, some of us panic, some of us try and do everything, even though often we can't fix it. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll give us wisdom. But we pray that you'll help us to bring our problems to you, whether they're problems about our work, about our family, about our health. Oh Lord, there's so many of us here, and there's so many joys and so many deep griefs. We're glad you know, and we're glad you care. And we're glad you speak to us, and we pray that you'll help Mark as he brings your word to us now. Oh Lord, do speak through him to us, we pray. Amen. But before Mark speaks to us, we're going to sing again about our reliable and strong God. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Well, good morning once again. It's good to see you all. Good to have you here. And I very much doubt that any of us will ever find ourselves in the same situation as Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. It's a great name, isn't it? Doubt it many of you will call your kids that. But he was a king of the southern kingdom of Judah around, well, just over 800 years or so before Jesus. And we find him in a very difficult situation this morning. His enemies have come to fight him in battle. But it's not just one army that's come up against him. And it's not just two armies that have come up against him. It's three armies that have joined forces to come up against Jehoshaphat. They've formed a powerful alliance. And it's a huge army that's coming from the other side of the Dead Sea. And when Jehoshaphat finally hears about it, they're only about 25 miles away. And so you can understand how he feels when it says, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. He was afraid. Well, as a king, not only would he have to worry about his own life, but he would have to worry about all those he was responsible for. Everyone would have been looking to him to know what to do. Everyone's eyes were on him. So I doubt any of us will find ourselves in that position. I think that's highly unlikely. And yet, I'm very confident that all of us, at least at some point in our life, will find ourselves facing troubles, not necessarily being in trouble, but when I say trouble this morning, we're thinking of sort of troubles and difficulties. Like Jehoshaphat, there'll be times in our life where we're facing fear or anxiety, or where we feel completely overwhelmed by situations in our life. Times when we just have no idea what to do, and maybe we feel utterly confused. We feel a sort of a powerlessness. We just don't know what to do. Maybe some of you are feeling that way this morning. Maybe you're afraid of something, or anxious, or confused, or overwhelmed, or uncertain. I wonder if any of those words are sort of ringing a bell with you this morning, maybe. Well, Jehoshaphat, he certainly didn't get everything right in his life. He made some pretty big errors of judgment. But in 2 Chronicles 20, he gets things really right. He does really well. We're going to look at this morning because there's a lot we can learn from his example. So we're going to see what he does and we're going to learn from it this morning to see what can we do when we face trouble and difficulty in life. What can we do? Well, Jehoshaphat sets a brilliant example for us to follow. What's the very first thing he does? Verse 3, so it says, then Jehoshaphat was afraid. What's the very first thing he does? And he set his face to seek the Lord. This is the first thing. Verses 3 and 4, he seeks God. He seeks God. His first action when he hears about these three armies coming against him is not to tell his soldiers to pick up their weapons and man the defences. It's not to tell the women and children to hide. It's not to retreat into a base and kind of come up with some sort of master plan where he can maybe somehow work out how they can all survive this onslaught. No, the first thing he does is he makes a decision. And that decision is that he's going to seek God. And there are two ways that we see he's really committed to this decision. He's really committed. The first one you see is you carry on. So he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. You see how he tells everyone in Judah, he says, stop eating, stop drinking anything apart from water, because actually seeking the Lord's help right now is more important than even eating. And we're going to gather together and we're going to seek God's help together. And so all the people in the cities, they come and they gather together. And they're looking at Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat is saying, we're all going to look at God. All of us are going to have our eyes on the Lord. But did you notice what else it said, the second way we know that he's really committed to his decision to seek God, it says he set his face. He set his face towards seeking the Lord. It's something he's determined to do. He's resolute. He's not going to be easily shifted from this decision to seek the Lord. And it reminded me of someone else who sets their face in the Bible. I expect many of you can think of him. It's Jesus. In Luke 9:51, it talks about Jesus setting his face towards Jerusalem. From then on in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is heading slowly but surely towards the cross. And he knows that on that journey, he's going to face shame and humiliation and arrest and torture and crucifixion. But he set his face. Nothing is going to stop him doing what he has come to do. And he does it. And Jehoshaphat here, he sets his face to seek God. Decision made. We are going to seek God. I wonder what your instinct is when trouble comes in life, when problems surround you. Maybe some of you are problem solvers and your immediate instinct is to have a go at solving the problem. A lot of us are like that. We hate asking for help. Maybe we don't even like telling people. We just want to have a go at solving the problem. Maybe some of us just sort of grin and bear it. Or maybe some of us just quickly despair. I think this is, I can't do anything about it. And we despair. Well, Jehoshaphat shows us here what to do. Determine to seek God. Make that the first thing you do. Determine to seek God. Well, how does he do that? We see his next step in verses 5 to 13. He prays. He prays. You know, to be able to speak to God's an incredible blessing. But it's easy to neglect it, isn't it? Especially sometimes if we've got lots on our mind, if there's lots going on. Sometimes we've got so many problems that it's almost like we don't have time to pray. And it reminded me of a poem. It's called No Time to Pray. And I want to read it to you. I love it as a poem, but it is convicting. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on grey and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Well, Jehoshaphat knows he's got so much on his mind. The issue is so big that he has to take time out to pray. It's too important not to. I don't know what would fill many of our prayers if we were to pray in that situation, but I suspect many of us would focus on the size of the enemy, the sheer number of them, and just crying out to God to rescue us. That would probably be it for many of us. But look at how Jehoshaphat prays. So he stands in front of everyone, and this is the prayer that he prays. This is how he starts off. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. See the faith that he displays here? So he's facing an army where it's literally hard to count them because there's just so many of them. And yet he's saying, but God, you're their king too. No one can stop you. You rule over them. It's incredible faith. As one person has put it, and I really like this. Instead of coming to God with the greatness of our enemy, we should face our enemy with the greatness of our God. I like that. Instead of coming to God with the greatness of our enemy, we should face our enemy with the greatness of our God. Don't just tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about God. Well, then, as it carries on the prayer in verse 7, Jehoshaphat reminds God that God had promised Abraham, who God has said was my friend, God promised Abraham the land. And God had given some amazing victories to the people to get this piece of land. And Jehoshaphat is saying, look, God, you've given us this land. You promised it to us. These people are trying to take it off us. So God, keep your promise. It's ours. You promised it to us. And then in verses 8 to 9, he quotes Solomon. And he says, look, Solomon said that when we cry out to you for help, when there's a disease or when there's war or when there's famine, that you've promised you will help. And so this is us crying out in a time of war. So please, God, help. You see how he uses the promises of God to make sure that God answers? And then he points out the injustice of the armies attacking. And he points back to some time before when he says, look, we deliberately didn't attack them. We went round them and now they're attacking us. That's unjust. Unjust. God, do something about it. You're the God of justice. And then this is how he finishes the prayer. And it's with great humility and with great need. This is verse 12. He says, for we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Maybe that last bit particularly resonates with some of you. Maybe right now, or maybe you can look back in life and see times where you've just been sort of almost looking at God and just going, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what the right answer is. I don't know how we can get past this. I don't know how I can keep going. But God, our eyes are on you. And all the people are there. You've got the men, the women, and it specifically says the little ones. The little ones are there. Everyone's gathered there together. And they're gathered together to seek God, but there's this vulnerability about them. They're powerless. And yet, you know, God loves to show his power when we are powerless. Time and time again throughout the Bible, you get this. God loves to show his power when we're at our weakest. It's why he says to Paul in the New Testament, my power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. We're so quick, aren't we, to look at our phones for when we want help with something. So if a problem comes up or something we don't know, often this is the first thing we reach for. And it might be to contact a friend or message a friend, or it might be to ask Google or ChatGPT, whatever you prefer. But there's a bit of a little saying. It's a little bit silly, but I think it's quite helpful. And it's this. It's thinking about the throne of God. And it says this. Run to the throne, not your phone. Run to the throne, not your phone. It's a little bit silly, but it's quite powerful, isn't it? We so quickly run to our phone. It can do so much nowadays. But run to God's throne because he can do more. Well, the people have prayed. They've prayed with Jehoshaphat. And now they're gathering to wait to hear. They don't move off. Because communication with God is a two-way thing. We don't just speak to God. God is a God who speaks. And sometimes in situations, we can pray to God and we can kind of get it all out there and then we can rush into life and kind of almost then try and do what we've just been praying about. Sometimes without taking the time to think, well, what does God say into this situation? Has God got anything to say to me? And so these people, they're all standing there and they're waiting to hear, well, what has God got to say to us? And so here's the next thing that he does. He listens. And when I say he listens, he is the king, does it with all the people. He listens. And God speaks through a man called Jehaziel. It's verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you." And this is surprising considering the army that's come against them. "Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them." And then into verse 17, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you."
Well, God doesn't say, just go home and do nothing. He doesn't say, yeah, go on, you know, go and sit on the sofa, put your feet up, I've got this. God doesn't do that. They do have things to do. They have to go down and face the enemy. They have to stand firm. They have to hold their position. These are things they've got to do. They have to do something, but they won't have to fight, God says. God says, you won't have to fight because the battle is mine. I'll do the fighting. And they will get to see it all. It's like they're going to get to see they're going to get to be in the front row seats of this battle as God fights. Well, God doesn't speak to us today in quite the same way that he spoke to them. Thankfully, we don't have to sort of wait for God's spirit to descend on someone here this morning so we can find out what he's got to say to us. He's already spoken through his word. We've already thought about that a bit in the children's talk. Everything we need is in there. And it's really vital that we listen too. That we listen to what God has to say to us. Because he can save us from actually what is our greatest trouble. There's all sorts of things we may face as troubles in life. But the Bible tells us, God tells us through his word, about our greatest trouble. That God can give us victory over. See, our greatest trouble is our sin. That God will judge. And death. We may not be facing armies like Jehoshaphat did, physical soldiers, but we are facing enemies that are far more powerful than us. Enemies that we cannot overcome. We cannot overcome sin by ourselves. It is too powerful for us. None of us can escape death. It is too powerful for us. And so we are in this situation where we too are powerless against these enemies that the Bible says are our greatest enemies. We are powerless. They are our greatest troubles. And yet when we listen to God as we read his word, what does he say to us? God says, I will fight for you. Watch and see. The battle will be fought on the cross. That's where the battle will be done. And it looks like Jesus is being overwhelmed. It looks like Jesus is being crushed. And yet it is by that he is gaining the victory for us. And we can look at the cross, and just like the people there, we can see the salvation that is being won for us. We can see God saving us through the cross. It's nothing to do with us. We don't have to fight. It is God that wins the victory over sin. And as he's on the cross, he defeats sin and he frees us from it. And it is nothing to do with us. Now, that doesn't mean that we just sit on the sofa with our feet up and we do nothing. We're called to do something, actually. What are we called to do? We're called to believe in Jesus. We're called to repent. That is how we gain the forgiveness that Jesus wins for us on the cross. But he tells us that it is he who wins the victory for us against our greatest enemies. And we see this confirmed 3 days later when Jesus conquers the enemy of death and he rises again to new life. And just as Jehoshaphat listened to the promises that were made and he trusts those promises and it gives him confidence, so we trust in the promises of God that we too will rise with him. That on that final day, if we are on his side, that we too will be raised to new life. That we too will reign with him in his new kingdom. That's the promise that we hold on to. That's the promise that gives us confidence as we face these enemies.
that they're already defeated because of what Jesus has done for us. That's the hope we have. That's what God says to us. But he also promises that once we've been saved, once we're his children, that no trouble, no difficulty in life can ever separate us from his love. He certainly doesn't promise that there won't be any troubles. In fact, Jesus tells us very clearly, there will be trouble in life, especially if you follow me. But he does say, nothing will be able to separate you from me. No trouble will be able to separate you. Nothing will stop you reaching my home in glory where you'll be with me. This is what Paul says in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Can any of those separate us from God? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, if we are Christians, this is what he promises us. Listen to this. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So Jehoshaphat listens to God saying, don't be afraid, I will fight for you. And what does he do next? The thing he does next in verses 18 to 21 is he worships. He worships. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. A very loud voice. And they get up early the next morning. They're active. They're ready to go. And Jehoshaphat encourages them with some words. And he essentially says, if you have faith in God, he will prove himself to be faithful. And so they get up and they go, and he sends an army against these other three armies. But he doesn't have soldiers at the front. Instead, he has singers. He has singers at the front of his army. And instead of a sort of guttural war cry that normally armies would sort of shout against each other, they're singing hymns. And they're singing hymns of thankfulness to God. And remember that they're still facing the enemy that just beforehand they've been terrified about. So they've been terrified of them shortly before. And now they are walking towards them, not just singing hymns, but singing hymns of thankfulness to God for what he's done. He hasn't even done it yet. Why are they doing that? Because they really believe what God has said. They really believe that God has already won it for them and that God will fight for them. You know, when we really believe what we're looking at, it really makes a difference to our life. When we really believe that Jesus has dealt with our sin, even though we know we're sinners, but we know that Jesus has dealt with our sin and washed us clean. When we know that he has broken the power of death, that yes, we will die, but Jesus has broken the power of it. When we know that he loves us, that he really cares for us, when we really truly believe those things, well, then you can face anything in life, whatever life can throw at you, and you can still have a hymn of praise and a hymn of thankfulness on your lips and in your heart. It's why Christians can suffer deep grief and yet still find it in their heart to be able to praise and thank God. It's why Christians can be told they're going to lose their job the next term and they have no idea what the future holds. And yet they have a remarkable peace about it. It's why Ruth could go into hospital with so much uncertainty and yet could tell people, I know I've been forgiven. I know my sins have been dealt with, and I know God will always be with me. You see, she knew that she's more than a conqueror through Jesus. And so we can be thankful whatever trouble we face. Jehoshaphat and his army head to face the enemy, singing songs of thankfulness. It's a remarkable scene. Well, this is where we got up to in the reading earlier. And I wonder if you wondered, well, what happens next? Because if they got crushed by the enemy, it would be a bit of a sorry ending to all that build-up. Well, let's read it to find out. And as we do, we'll find out that Jehoshaphat and the people are more blessed than they can ever imagine or could have imagined. Verses 22 to 25. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah, Jehoshaphat and his army, came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked towards the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. Can you imagine 3 days of collecting basically treasure and goods and clothing? 3 days. But you know, this is what God is like. God doesn't just save us. But what he does is he blesses them and he blesses us so that we are far richer than we ever were before. These people return home rich. And all they've had to do is go and see God in action. All they've had to do is go and watch God fight for them. And they return home rich and blessed. It's no wonder that when they go home celebrating. They go home praising God with all these musical instruments because they're so full of joy. Well, in Ephesians 1, Paul talks about the treasure that we have in Christ. It's not clothes or fast cars or nice houses or diamonds. It's spiritual blessings. This is what Paul says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, what are some of the treasures that we get through God, through Christ? Well, maybe you can think of some different ones, but let me name a few. We get adopted into God's family. So for eternity, we get to be in his family, living with him forever. We get access to him in prayer as our Father. We can pray to him at any time about anything. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. We get to reign with Jesus in the new creation, in his heavenly kingdom. We get life to the full. Life as God made it to be. Satisfying. True joy. We get peace that is beyond understanding. We get purpose and meaning in life. And that joy that has been described in the Bible is inexpressible. Indescribable joy. Those are some of the treasures that we get when God blesses us. He doesn't just save us, but he blesses us so that we are richer than we could have ever been before. Well, I don't know your situations. Certainly don't know all of them. But I just want to encourage you, whatever your situation, to follow Jehoshaphat's example. Seek God. Make a decision to seek God. Pray to him. Use this prayer as a bit of an example. Praise God. Use his promises. Listen to what God has to say. Look at his word, the Bible. Maybe seek a mature Christian who can tell you what God says. Worship God, even in the midst of uncertainty or trouble or difficulty. Worship God, and he will bless you more than you can ever imagine through Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a couple of songs. The first one is based on a psalm, one of my favourites, 121. I lift my eyes and see, I need not be afraid. All my help comes from the Lord. And then the second song is about a song of thankfulness. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Whatever situation in, we can be thankful for Jesus. So they're quite short songs, but let's sing both of these songs together. God, we thank you above all that you have sent Jesus to win the victory for us, so that if we believe in him, we can have our greatest trouble dealt with. And not only that, Lord, but you reward us with adoption into your family and all the spiritual blessings you can offer. And I pray that that would make us incredibly thankful. And Lord, I thank you as well that you care about all the other things in our life, all the other troubles, the difficulties, the concerns, the confusion. And so, Lord, I pray that if anyone is really feeling those things this morning, Lord, that you would be very close to them. Lord, that you would help them to have their eyes on you and that you would richly bless them at this time. Lord, do be with us as we go away from this place. Keep us safe, we pray. And may we live to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.